We so often in life talk about heart. What is heart? What is heart? We hear terms like, that guy had heart to finish the race. What does that mean? We hear something like, oh, that person has a big heart. Or that person has no heart. We know people like that. Or that person's heart is not in the right place. Or that person tried to do the right thing. Person wears their heart on the sleeve. When we look at the Bible, what does heart mean? How many times is it written in the Bible? How many times is heart written in the Bible? 835 times the word heart is written in the Bible. And every one of those has four basic meanings or a combination of the four. It is what we think. It is our will. It is our emotions and feelings. Or it's our conscience. Heart, in a biblical sense, is not just our emotions. It is not just our will. It all comes together to be who we are. Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What heart is he talking there? Our conscience? Our will? Is he talking about our emotions? Is he talking about our mind? Because he puts in there, with all your mind. Love your God with all your heart. But then if we go to Jeremy 17:9-10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruits of his doings. Wait a minute, are we in a quandary? Is our heart wicked and deceitful? Are we to love God with a deceitful, wicked heart? No, we're not. That is not what God's calling us to do. So let's evaluate the first aspect of heart that I mentioned. And the first aspect of that is our thoughts and our reasoning. Scripture talks about us not relying on our own understanding. There's a reason for that. When we rely on our own understanding, we rely on ourselves, we rely on our mind, we rely on what we understand. Science, everybody loves science, right? Science is proven. There are people that will sit there and say, well, X, Y, and Z, this is what we need to do, this is what it is. They're relying on their understandings. If God is the creator of all things, let me rephrase that, God is the creator of all things, right? He's before time and after time. Isn't he kind of outside of science? Isn't he kind of outside of our human intellect? Because we were only here for about 100 years. He's outside of what we can comprehend. You guys don't have to flip to these verses, but I wanted to bring out some scripture that kind of supports this. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thought life is extremely important to God. What we focus on, what we read, what we let into our mind is extremely important. There's 1,000 people out there that think Barney's real, you know? They love Barney. There's kids around their Barney. We've let him into our minds, and he's real to the kids. Or Santa Claus, or any of those imaginary people. But are we letting these things in our heart that are not godly, that do not line up with Scripture? Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart precedes evil thoughts. Our flesh will so often allow us to go to places that we don't need to go in our mind to go. There's a reason that my wife and I don't go to beaches. First of all, I don't want to have the spiritual warfare to go there. Second of all, I don't want anybody looking at my wife, you know, or... It could be money. I got to have this. I got to have this. I need the money. I got to go make money. I got to do this. I got to do that. When we rely on what we understand and we say, I need this, I need this, we become obsessive. And when we become obsessive, we lock into it and we don't let it go. And then that becomes the focus of what our thoughts are. And when that becomes the focus of our thoughts, we so often act on it. There's a process. So do our thoughts matter? The answer is yes. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there are any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The battle is in our mind. The battle is in our intellect. What do you and what do we all focus on? I watch TV a little bit, and I'm starting to watch TV less. How much junk is on television? A lot. The eyes are the gateway to your soul. You've probably all have heard that. What goes in our minds filters around there for hours and hours and hours. Jerry and I, several years ago, we were talking about it, and I forget what it was. You brought up a topic. And I was like, oh, just like this. And I actually brought back the picture in my mind of everything, and I explained it to her. And she's like, you can remember that from so many years ago? And I'm like, yeah. I'm a picture guy. I learn and I see things through pictures and visions. So when I see things that are ungodly, they stick to me. The way to combat that is to meditate on God's word, is to meditate on the things that are godly. So the second area that we wanted to talk about is the heart. Is the will of man. What is our will? We have free will. We have will. It's choice. It's fully choice. Will is choice. Will can sometimes beyond choice. It is the thing. It is determination that we use to achieve a goal. A racer runs a 26-mile marathon. You're running that last 2-3 miles on determination. You're not running it on strength. At least I would be after 26 miles. We cannot do that generally in our own strength. We got to have the determination and the will to do it. That will is what carries us through in every situation that we face. So often I find people that are defeated in their will. They have been beat down through circumstances in their life. They filter their will through their emotions and through their thoughts, and they allow themselves to stay in a place. I often tell students at the college, what is it that you can't do? And they kind of look at me funny. What is it you can't do is the thing you're not willing to try for. What is it you can't do is what you're not willing to put it all on the line for, what you're not willing to have the determination and the drive to do it, because you have to have that. The enemy's goal is to break us in our will. On Daniel 10, Daniel was talking to a heavenly host or heavenly being, heavenly king actually, and the heavenly being says to him, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard and have come, and I have come because of your words. Daniel, in that point in time, made the decision, because if you read back in that scripture, the kings of Persia and all this stuff was going on, he had the choice. He could have just put God aside, but he said no. He continued with what he knew. He continued in his faith. He continued walking that road, and he said, I will serve God. I will make the determination to do whatever it is that God has me to do. And he did that. And the reward was God sent a heavenly king to him to minister in this time of need. And if I would go around this room, I'm pretty sure that all of us at some point in time, when we talk about the determinations that we've had to keep our faith, God has answered that. I could tell you story upon story about how God has answered my faith. We can also look at times in the Bible when people's will and thought process got in the way. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. He's not the Messiah. No, he's not the Messiah. He can't be the Messiah. Messiah is going to come like this. They're relying on their own understanding, and from those thoughts, they took that to their will, and they crucified him. They crucified him because they thought he was interfering with their stuff. What do we do to strengthen our will? That's a good question. Strengthening our will is a matter of determination. We have to realize that whatever the consequences are, we're willing to bear them for whatever the reward is. So, determination and will. If it was the end days and persecution is coming and you don't take the mark of the beast and you choose Christ, your end reward is heaven. If you throw that stuff off and you renounce God, your end reward is hell. It's a choice. The third level of our heart is feelings and emotions. We're made in God's image, correct? Does God feel? Yes, God has emotions. After Adam and Eve, what did he say? His heart was grieved. He was sad. He was upset. When Jesus gets baptized, this is my son. I'm well pleased. God has emotions. Why do we have emotions? Because we're made in God's image. Wow, we don't like that, do we? We don't like emotions. It would be a lot better if we didn't have emotions, wouldn't it? Sometimes. Matthew 3:17. And suddenly, wrong verse. If we look at Psalms, and we actually honestly take a look at them, they're filled with emotion that's been poured out by the authors. There's anger, and there's lust, and there's bitterness and failings and troubles and trusting God and depression and anxiety and being merry and haughty and proud and envious and delighted in things and anguished over things. We all feel emotions. Where we run into trouble is when we allow our emotions to take over for our thoughts. We allow our emotions to supersede our will. When we run only on emotions, we get in trouble. Does that make sense? Because if we run only on fear, then everything around us we're going to be afraid of. We're going to be afraid of new challenges. Well, if we're afraid of new challenges, then how can we grow? We can never grow in God if we just operate in fear. If we operate in anxiety, where you're so worried about everything around you and worried about this person, worried about that person, and worried about the world and the end days and Jesus coming back tomorrow, and we live in anxiety, we're missing it. And what we're missing is that God gave us emotions to draw us closer to Him. That's what they're for. God gave us emotions to come up to somebody and say, hey, I'm really sorry that you're grieving right now, that your family member died. Let me grieve with you. Our emotions are to be shared among the body, among the congregation, and people outside of the congregation so that we can show them who God is. Our emotions are for Him. But we so often walk as our emotions are for us. Our emotions should serve as a call to service. When we look around and we see the things going on in this world, do we do something? I've been recently watching they have these anti-bullying campaigns on. I don't know if anybody's seen them on television. Girls getting harassed and thrown down, and the girls looking in the mirror and like, what would you do? Or I forget the exact terminology they use. But isn't the world getting bullied? Isn't the world getting bullied by the prince of the air? Isn't the world getting bullied by people that are obsessed with greed and lust and the things that, I don't know, God doesn't really care about, well, he does care about them, but the things that are, really don't matter, they're power. People want to have power. Ultimate power ultimately corrupts. We have to remember that. So use your emotions to draw closer to God. And the fourth area that I want to talk about, conscience. Why do we have a conscience? Wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? Why do I feel bad about something? When we feel guilty or shame, those are typically things that are not from God. They're things from us or from the enemy. So let's take those off the table. If we look at Acts 2:37, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says of many who heard of him that they were cut to the heart. God's word, God's law, is part of our conscience. I firmly believe that every person born has a understanding of right and wrong without ever being taught that. They know what it, they know God, whether they want to know God or not. They know him. I believe that. I see it all the time. Even in non-believers, they'll go, oh, that's not right. I can't do that. Right? But in believers, we have the word. And so why is the God tells us not to steal? Why does the God tells us all this? Well, for many reasons. But our conscience is truly a gift from God. What does our conscience ultimately do for us? It steers us. It ultimately brings us to a place of repentance so that we can draw back to God, so that we can be with him. That's truly ultimately what our conscience is. It's the mechanism that God has given us to draw us closer to him. One of the mechanisms. We often don't think of that. We're often like, man, I gotta go apologize to that guy. But he was being a jerk first. Or, you know, I don't want to go do this because, but we need to be upright. And we need to have a godly character. Because all of us work in a world that sees the character that it's not godly. So, I give you the scripture again. Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We need to love God with our mind, with our conscience, with our will, and with our emotions. We need to meditate on his word. We need to pray. We need to spend time in fellowship with each other. Because in those things, we can draw ourselves back to him. We can draw ourselves closer to him. If we were to look at somebody that has an unbalanced heart, what would it look like? A person that's all based on intellect would be Richard Dawkins. Anybody know who Richard Dawkins is? One of the main atheists and one of the main people that attack us every day on our faith. Richard Dawkins believes that we are nothing more than primordial sludge, and we are all deceived. That the whole world that believes in Jesus Christ is being deceived by the people that want power and money. That's his premise. Unfortunately, Richard Dawkins also has the ears of many students, and he's written books like The Selfish Gene, which is now being taught in most universities. So think about that. That is a person that's reaching millions of people. And yet, he's relying only on his intellect. And he's relying on his emotion of hatred and his rebellion, basically. A person that has, that's all focused on their will. What would they look like? 85 hours a week at the office, no time with the family, no time with their spouse. They're driven. If I do this, then I will succeed. There's a fear of failure sometimes that's associated with that. So if we keep doing this, sooner or later, I'll succeed. But in that success, we lose everything that we have been working for. Been there, done that, just so you all know. If we have a person that lives on emotions, 1 minute they're crying, the next minute they're angry, they go up these big swings up and down and sad, and we just, they react only out of what they're feeling rather than every other aspect of their life. And a person that lives with conscience, if it's a person with conscience, then they walk a life where they're repenting and they're asking people to forgive them and they're walking a holy life. But a person without conscience has been now deemed a narcissist, I believe is the right concept. And a narcissist will do whatever they want to do. And the world is there to serve them. They don't care, and it's all about me. And we see a lot of that all about me, don't we, in this world. We're training a bunch of people that have no conscience. Because if Dawkins is right, and we are primordial sludge, why don't we go out and just start shooting everybody? Moral law doesn't apply, right? But moral law does apply because God has given it to us. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And that's what I want to talk to you guys really about today. But we needed to go down this rabbit trail. Where's your heart? And where's your treasures? Are your treasures in God? Are your treasures in family? Are your treasures in the community that you're sitting amongst? We have value. We place value on everything in our life. Jobs, money, cars, boats, fish. There's value that we place on stuff. Do we take our intellect and say, you know what? I can justify not going to church today to go fishing. Okay, I'm guilty of that one, all right? So that's the conscience part working out there. Can we take our intellect and place God behind it? Yeah, we do it all the time. Do we take our emotions? Well, I'm really not feeling good today, and I'm really just upset. And, you know, if there's a moment where we're all emotional and we don't want to go to church, that's probably the day you do need to go to church. That's the day that God wants to talk to you. Do we will not to come to church or to do things of God? You get that 2 o'clock phone call. I've gotten a few in my day. Hey, we need help. Willing to come. Are we willing? Is that where my treasure is? I would state that, and I believe, that our treasures need to be more focused on the things of God and less on the things of ourselves. I'm walking through that myself, even at this time that I'm giving this message to you guys. We have to draw lines in the sand. And we have to draw ourselves closer to God with our intellect, which means we need to read the Word, and we need to spend time in His Word, and time in prayer. We need to spend time willingly doing it, because our will and our determination is what gives us the strength to do the things that God has asked us to do. Yes, He can empower us for a time, but we have to have the will to go forward and do that. And we need to take our emotions when we're doing the things of God and set them aside. How many people here have ever been on a mission trip to a really impoverished area? Yeah. When you walk up to a really impoverished area and you see kids with no shoes that are dirty, that have head lice, that's just absolutely heartbreaking, they're living in the worst conditions, you can sit there and cry. or you can stand up and make a difference. And I pray that you all have a good conscience, that we do the right thing no matter what. And that's always hard. I have to be honest with you. Doing the right thing in every situation is hard because generally there's a lot of different perspectives. But we use the word, we use prayer, and we try to do the right things. I thank you guys for today, and I hope this has touched you. Let's just pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you. And Lord, I would ask that our hearts would be drawn closer to you, Lord. Not just the physical, but Lord, our emotions, our will, our thoughts, and our conscience. Father, I would ask that you would just bless this congregation as we prepare to go forth. And Lord, that your hand would be in every aspect of our lives, allowing us to draw closer, to gain further understanding, and to serve you better. And we ask this all in Jesus' name.